good. I had a good Christmas too. In fact, we've done Christmas twice because my sister's a nurse, so she worked the first one. So we did Christmas Day on the 27th as well. So it was very exciting. Two Christmas dinners. Hope you can't tell. But yeah, we had a good Christmas. Got woken up by the child of the household. Jennifer woke me up. I'm a firm believer, I don't know about you, but I'm a firm believer that yes, the presents are there in the early hours of the morning, but they're also there at 10 a.m. There's no need for that early hour. No, there's no need. 7:30 is still too early. There's no need. There's no need. And so she came to my bedroom door and knocked. Ruth. Now, this took a while because those who know me quite well, I sleep like I'm in a coma. So I was gone. I was like not awake at all. And she kept going, Ruth, Ruth, Ruth. And at which point, I apparently made what can be only described as a teenage grunt. Those who have teenagers will know. To which she said, you need to get up. And I said, And she said, it's Christmas. There are presents. To which I said, oh, yeah, I remember. She then left. I went downstairs. Do you know why? Because she knows me. She knows that I'm not a fan of the morning. I'm not a fan of the morning. And so she left. And she did this very clever thing. She put the kettle on. So I was there, laid in bed, having been woken up, a little bit annoyed I'd been woken up, but she'd nudged me with the idea of presents and then had put the kettle on. It's the best way forward. So I managed to drag myself downstairs, to which she greeted me with, like, please don't attack me, but just take the tea. I took the tea and then we opened presents. I got into the joy of it a little bit more. And we got some good presents. Did anyone else get some good presents? Yeah. They get a little bit less exciting as you get a bit older, don't they? Mine weren't as exciting as Ruben's, for example. My nephew is one and I spent yesterday babysitting and basically just played with his toys while he napped. They're much more exciting when you're younger. And, you know, I was thinking about these good gifts and about Jenny waking me up for those good gifts. And that's what this sermon has been like. I feel like God has been, I mean this respectfully, nagging at me with this sermon and nagging at us as a church with this sermon for a few sermons over the past few months. There are little bits of it. Words from God, there are little bits of it. Even this morning, I was sat and I said to Jenny, I'm trying to make this not from me. I need to let it go. I'm not going to look at the sermon this morning. I just want it to be about God. And I was like, I'm really not sure, God. I've never done a sermon just totally letting go and just letting it all be completely and utterly you. And then John stood up and said a little bit of my sermon. And then Keith said a little bit of my sermon. And then Pastor Adam said a little bit of my sermon. I was like, okay, yeah. Let's go, God. So, I'm excited this morning. I don't know if you are, but I am. So, he's been nagging. There's a gift. And who knows that God gives good gifts? Yeah? He's got amazing gifts to offer. And it says in Matthew, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He's amazing at giving gifts. There are forgiveness, there is mercy, there is love, there is belonging. There is so many amazing gifts that God has to offer. You know, on Lecky Christmas, on the 27th, we had our family Christmas and my sister's partner was opening Reuben's presents. He's like, look at this toy, look at this, look at this, oh, look at this, look at this. And my sister went, oh, that's nice, who's that from? I don't know. True dad style. So we then had to rummage through the bin trying to find the wrapping paper. And I felt like God was saying, do you know what? Sometimes you do that. Yes, my gifts are amazing. And I want you to enjoy them. But are you so focused on my gifts that you forgot to look at me? That you forgot to look at the gift giver themselves? Do you need to just spend a moment just going back and checking? Who's that from? Oh, I've got all this. Wow, it's amazing. But who's that from? We need to not get distracted by the gifts, because God's gifts are amazing. You know, there are some gifts that we get to open straight away. Jenny will be very excited about those. You know, we get forgiven now. You are forgiven. You get belonging in God's family now. That's it. If you want it, ask for it. You've got it. There are some gifts, we sometimes call them promises of God, that you actually have to wait for. Jenny would not be a fan. You have to wait for these gifts. They're there for you to see. You know that they're coming. Sometimes they're not there. My friend Claire's coming tonight for New Year, and we always exchange presents at New Year instead. And I'm hoping she's bringing a present. I have brought her a present in preparation, so I'm hoping there's going to be a present. But I don't know for definite. But I know Claire, so I know that she loves me and cares for me, and therefore that infers she will bring me a present. So there are some gifts like that, some promises. Now, for some promises, that will be when life on this earth ends, you get to spend the rest of your eternal life with me in heaven. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be no more tears, no more illness. It's going to be amazing. That's a promise. All of us have got it. We can't open that present yet, because we're still here and alive. But we can open it. That's a promise that God has got ready. There are some promises that you will have as individuals. Perhaps it's a promise that God has said, you know what, that person you're praying for is going to become a Christian. And you're like, well, you said that 10 years ago, and I'm still waiting. Perhaps it's a healing. Perhaps it's a healing for you or someone else. Perhaps it's something that you're praying for that you're like, God, I really need this pain to go away. The doctors can't do anything about it. I really need it to go away. I've been praying. I've done everything you've told me to. I'm praying. I'm waiting. I'm believing. But it's still here. It might be something else that God has said, you know what, I'm going to give you that at the right time, at the right point in your life, and you are praying for it, and you're like, I know that that's a promise, but I'm losing hope. And I think if you're anything like me, something I've battled with this year is focusing too much on that gift. And I promised myself I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. So those of you who know me know that Ruth wants a husband. You know, free to a good home, guys. I want a husband, and it's something I really want. And it is a heavenly, godly thing to want marriage. I honestly believe that. And so I focus on it. I feel that I've had words from God, from different people, saying that that is going to come and it's going to be amazing when it does come. I had a few more upsetting ones that said you have to wait a bit, but I have had those words. But this year I've battled with the fact that sometimes I can be more focused on that than I am on God. That even going to a church conference, I'm like, if I meet my husband, this is going to be amazing. If Jesus is there also, that would be nice. And I get too distracted by the gift. And you can, I don't know if you're like that with whatever it is, maybe a healing, maybe someone you want to become a Christian, maybe something else that you want, that you want it so much that you're not looking at the gift giver anymore. You're so distracted by the gift that you're unfocused. It says in Hebrews 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. You know, that verse is misquoted quite a lot. We misquote it saying, keep hold of the promises of God. That's not what it says. You see, we should not be holding on to the promises of God. We should be holding on to the God of promises. You know, yes, his promises are amazing, but the God of those promises is even more amazing. You see, a promise is an assurance that something will happen. It says in the dictionary, it's where you have been given good grounds for expectation, good reason behind your waiting. you know, sometimes we have to wait. And I felt while I was planning this sermon that God was saying, I think Pastor Adam mentioned it maybe last week, something about living at a comma. And I felt like God was saying, that's it. You as a church, you as individuals have lived your life up to this point and you've been living this year at a little bit of a comma. Maybe it's been a good sentence up to now. Maybe it's been a little bit rough, but you're at a comma. You're at a pause. You're at a waiting point. When I was younger, we got told to take a breath. When you get to a comma, take a breath. And I feel like God's been saying, that's what you've been doing. You've been taking a breath. You've been pausing in your sentence, waiting for that thing. And sometimes, like I said, we have to wait a long time. And in that, our longing for those promises and our longing for those gifts can leave us disheartened, can lead us in a point where we are hurting or in pain. And I honestly believe that there is a season for that. Perhaps you've been in a season of hurt. Someone said something and it hurt. And you've been holding on to that. And there is a season for that. You're allowed to hurt. That's allowed. You're allowed to feel that here. That's allowed. Perhaps you've been going through a stage and you have been beaten up by life. There's nowhere else to say it. You are broken. And you stand there with your church smile on your face on a Sunday. But inside you are just broken. Perhaps you're in a point of mourning. Perhaps you've lost something or someone and you are mourning it. And that is completely allowed. Perhaps a little bit of negativity even. Life is around you, just experiencing a time of negativity. And there is a season for that. You know, David talks about how many times will my enemies rise around me? Even Jesus said, God, why have you forsaken me? Major people in the Bible, I could quote loads of them, say, oh, life sucks. Am I allowed to say that on the platform? Yeah. Life sucks. It's rubbish. This really hurts. You know, the Bible says that we should worship in spirit and in truth. It says in John 6 that all those who the Father has given to me will come and I will never reject them or turn them away. I feel like God is saying, yes, you've come up to a comma and you might feel broken. You might have been in mourning. You might have been in negativity. But come to that comma. Come to me as you are. Come with your mourning. Come with that longing. Come with that, all of it. Just come as you are. Don't fake smile me. Just come as you are. And there's been some mornings, Sunday mornings, that it's a battle to come to church. I don't know about you. I don't want to. I want to stay at home in my pajamas and sleep. But I've come to church in my, in that brokenness, in that feeling of yuckiness. And I feel like God is saying, we paused for a reason. We had a comma for a reason. But some of you have got stuck there. You're stuck at your comma. You've taken that breath and it's almost like you've got a stutter and you can't go on to the next word. You're stuck in that place. But I felt like when I got this word that Jesus said, do you know what? I came that you could have life and life to the full. You see, God wants you to find the gift giver again. He wants you to find the God of those promises. He wants you to not be lost and distracted, but focused on God. In Psalm 34 is a beautiful verse, and it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I felt like God was saying, do you know what? You need to taste and see that I am good. You know, I say this respectfully and completely aware that this is God talking to me and possibly you as well. But I felt like God was saying that I needed to stop being so self-absorbed. I want this. I need that. I wasn't really feeling church today. I didn't really like that they did. That song was definitely in the wrong key for me. I wasn't sure about that. Did you taste the juice in the communion this week? I'm not a fan. It's all about me and I want this and I want that. I want a husband. That's about me. Not how is God going to be glorified through a marriage he may give me in the future, but I want a husband. I get so self-absorbed, so much about me. And I feel like, Keith, are you ready? We need to take our eyes from us and lift them up to God. Why? Because God's glory is shining through. Mick's sermon about glory of God kind of niggled in my brain, and I was like, I don't really get it. I don't really get, God, what you mean by your glory. I don't get it. Yes, we want your glory to shine through, but what do you mean? And so I did what Mick's done, and I spent a bit of time studying it. And if I'm honest, I still don't majorly get it. It's so big. I don't think you can. That's my excuse. But basically, God's glory, it's so big. In Job 36, it says, God is greater than we can understand. That's amazing. But God's glory is who God is, palpable, visible, on display for all to see. You know, we sung those songs today. God is higher, God is greater. You know, God is, he's everything. He is the sacrificial, lowly lamb, completely and utterly that, but he also manages to be this amazing, mighty, victorious Lion of Judah. He is complete justice. You deserve this, you're getting this. But at the same time, manages to be this merciful, I forgive you completely and utterly God. He is everything that you could need him to be, to the far extent of perfect. Everything you need him to be. And that is amazing. I don't get that. I don't get how you can be completely a sacrificial lamb that lays there and dies, and also a mighty Lion of Judah who is victorious. I don't get it. But God is greater than I can understand. You see, God is more amazing than you can understand. Whatever you need him to be, he can be. Whatever you want him to be, he can be. Whatever you could possibly dream of in your wildest dreams, he is that and a little bit more. In fact, a lot more. And he wants his glory to shine through. You know, it's, like I said, it's his palpable, glaring, public display of his awesomeness. You know, Andy gave a word about, that kind of ties in with what Keith said, about the clouds, and he showed us a picture that he illegally took on the road, but with the clouds and the sunbeam shining through. And I feel like God was saying, that was so right. I want my glory to shine through. But you know what? You've been a bit of a cloud. You're in the way. Move. Less of you, more of me, God's saying. Less of me. Less of me, Lord. More of you, Lord. You know, in Ephesians it says, I pray that the eyes of our heart would be flooded with light, that the eyes of our heart would be opened to see God. I feel like God has put his glory on Mick's heart, that he brings sermons about the glory of God because he wants you to see it and you're not getting it yet. So poor Mick's going to have to keep studying it until you lot get it. Glory of God, it's amazing. You know, I was like, I don't understand, God, why. I get it. You're amazing and we need to see your glory, you glorified. But I don't get it. How, what? A little bit about me again. What does that mean to me? What do I do with that? And I felt like God said, and I love this, God is most glorified when we are truly finding joy in who he is. When are you most glorified? When someone is just awestruck by you. They're like, wow, did you see what Ruth did? She did this and it was amazing. That's how you are glorified, when someone takes pure joy in you. Maybe that's a gift. Maybe you nailed it this year. Maybe you gave someone that gift and they were like, wow. But then it didn't become about the gift, it became about you. You are so good at giving gifts. You are amazing. Because God is glorified when we are finding joy in him. And Pastor Adam, just before I got up on the platform, I was like, maybe I should focus it a bit more about the glory of God. And Adam said, this year, it's about finding the joy. That's what my sermon's about. Finding the joy. We need to find the joy. If I could honestly see the glory of God, God in his awesomeness, I would be... I was going to say I'd be running to church, but that might be a step too far. I would be eager to drive to church. I would be on fire for God, just like, yeah. You know, I was looking around and we were singing, our God is greater, our God is a healer. Like this, our God is greater, our God is higher, God, you are higher than any other. Really? How joyful are you guys? I feel like God's saying, come on, get a bit of joy. People laughed at me last week. I led worship last week and I got a little bit overexcited and just a bit like, whoop. I'll try and dial it down. But I had this joy and everyone was like, oh, she's enthusiastic, bless her. But that's the kind of joy we should have. You know, I apologize for quoting a Catholic, but the Pope Francis says in a recent thing that he wrote, or someone else wrote and he put his name on it, I'm not sure. But he said that his biggest fear for the church, yes, the Catholic Church, but I think it covers us too, is that we have lost our joy. Why would anyone want to join a club where there's no joy? The people don't even look like they want to be there. They're no different. They're if not more negative than everyone else. Hey, nice shoes. He says, do you know what? A Christian, this is what the Pope says, a Christian should never be sad or give way to discouragement, for ours is not a joy born out of having possessions, but having encountered Jesus. Now, I don't say amen to the Pope very often, but amen. We've encountered Jesus, have we? I don't know, like... The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion, the Lamb, the merciful God, the just God, the everything in between God. And we're like, it's great that our God is greater, our God is higher. You see, a joy that focuses on the what. What can I do with that? What should I wear? What should I behave like? What should I do? That kind of joy is fragile. But a joy that focuses on the from who. That focuses not on the gifts or the promises, but on the God who gave them. That gives strength. In Nehemiah, it says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, Pope Francis is right. We've lost our joy. And that sapped our strength. And that means as a church and as Christians, and I don't know about you, but me personally, I feel weak. I feel like I'm coasting and dozing through life and meh. My strength to face situations has been sapped. When I face a difficult situation, it takes everything I am to face it and the rest of it is just gone. I stand there and I think, God, I've had a hard week. I don't know if I can praise you today. But do you know what? If we had the joy of the Lord, the real, not the fake, like, peppy, like, does anyone watch Christmas 24? There's always a girl on Christmas 24 films, and she's like, hi, guys, oh, Merry Christmas. She's really annoying. Jenny always says nasty things about her. Shh. But we don't want that fake joy. I know you're probably thinking that a little bit of this is fake, but it's not. We don't want that, like, fake... Yeah, Jesus, woo! And then you go home and you're like, oh. We want a real joy felt deep in our hearts. Because that kind of joy gives strength. You know, I babysit my nephew, Reuben. And when he's crying in the middle of the night and then wants to play rather than actually going to sleep, I don't mind. Jenny wakes me up at 7:30 and I want to throw things at her. So why don't I mind when Reuben does it? Not that I don't love Jenny too, but I have a joy for looking after Reuben. I love it. Deep down in my core, I love it. So I keep doing it because the joy of looking after that little baby strengthens me to keep going. If I want to convince Jenny we're going to do the parts, we put a bit of Beyonce on and dance and sing, and that's the only way to get her to do the parts, because a little bit of joy helps you get through. Ask Disney. How many clean up tidy songs are like a little bit of joy? Ask Mary Poppins. How do you make them take the medicine? Spoonful of sugar. God's told you, do you know what? Get some joy and I'll give you strength. So if we really see who God is, that gives us joy. If we have joy, we have strength to persevere. If we have strength to persevere, that brings glory to God. And if that brings glory to God, then either for us or for someone else, God's glory is revealed. And if God's glory is revealed for us to see, then we have joy. So then we have strength to persevere, which gives glory to God. And if it gives glory to God, then either for you or for someone else, it lets them see God's glory, which gives joy, which gives strength, which lets God's glory shine. You know, when I stood up here on the platform singing for the worship team, like I said, sometimes I'm not in the mood. And do you know who I look at? I'm going to name Bella. I love watching Bella worship. It's amazing. She stands on the front row and she sings as loud as she can and as beautifully and as enthusiastically as she can. Some of you might have seen it when they sung at the Nativity. It's beautiful. It's just pure. Not is anyone watching? Not what does it look like? Not am I in tune or not? Though it was in tune. But none of that. Just pure. I love Jesus and I'm going to sing. Seeing that joy makes me think, oh, look at how joyful she is about God. Oh, God is so simple that a child could understand Ruth. Come on, think. What is God like? Bella gets it. Do you get it? And that helps me see who God is, which gives me a joy, which gives me a strength to keep worshiping. Yes, there will be people who are in a time of mourning. But you need to see who God is, because whether it's for you or for someone else, that joy is contagious. That joy is like, you know when someone laughs with one of those really weird laughs and you kind of laugh, but you've no idea what they're laughing at, but you're kind of laughing because they're laughing. You know when they're like, I don't know if I can do it, like and they're proper going for it. Like, you can tell that they're getting stitched. You can feel that building up. That kind of joy is contagious. And that's the kind of joy, joy that gives you stitch. That's the kind of joy we should be feeling for the Lord, for God. You know, evangelistically, we want our friends to become Christians. I want every kid that goes to the school I work at to become a Christian. Yes, I believe in hell. But I don't believe that the best way to get people to heaven is to talk to them about hell and how awful it is. Because my God is not a God who scares people into a relationship with him. Yes, God's promises of forgiveness and love and belonging are amazing. But I don't think my God is a God that bribes people with gifts. The best way to help your family, your friends, the people at schools you might have contact with, the best way to bring them into a relationship with God is to show them who God is, to let God's glory shine through you. You know, our lives should be worship that builds a throne to God. You know, I stand here confessing to you that I sometimes do church. In fact, sometimes I even do Jesus time. I can spiral in my negativity. I love a good whinge. And as I wrote this sermon, I felt like God was saying to me that I need to find God, that I need to really see, not just sing about, not just know about, that God wants me to meet him as the lamb and meet him as the lion, to meet him as God, to meet him as Lord, to meet him as creator and as king. Not as a New Year's resolution that's going to not even make it past the end of January. I want to spend this year, not as a New Year's resolution, but just as a little bit of a slight change. I want to turn my focus to the glory of God. I want to focus on who God is. Because in my life, I need him to be palpable and on public display. I don't want to just bring that joy to those around me. I need that joy. I need the strength that that joy brings. You know, I told you about Jenny waking me up with her pestering, "Ruth, Ruth, Ruth." Me and Jenny are not morning people, unless we're presents. And Jenny has to catch a train to work. And we don't tend to make the train very often, if I'm honest. But the train, we have to leave the house. This is how bad we are in the morning. At 12 minutes past seven, we can just make it. Okay? When we first started catching the train, we left the house at 10 to seven. We have now timed it enough that we know 12 minutes past seven is the latest time. We are not good in the morning. And on some occasions, when Jenny is asleep, she's gone. And I wake up and I glance over at my clock and just, ooh, have my alarms even gone off? And I see it is 5 to 7. 5 to 7, that is less than 20 minutes to get ready. This takes a lot longer than 20 minutes, okay? I jump out of bed, which does not happen often. I run round to Jenny's room and now, you don't disturb Jenny when she's asleep because it's a little bit scary. But it's 5 to 7, so there's less than 20 minutes. I throw open the door and I say in a loud voice, "No, Jenny, Jenny," none of that. And I go, "Jenny!" To which she usually goes, "Ah! Are we getting up or are you missing the train?" There's been various responses. Sometimes she does this and throws herself up and walks past me and goes to the bathroom, which I assume means we're getting up. Sometimes she goes, "It's fine, I'll ring my mum for a lift," and turns over and goes back to sleep. I feel like God was saying, you know, I love you. You, as an individual, I love you. And I love Rotherham Ealing Church. And I love you enough that I will keep pestering you and keep nagging you and keep giving you opportunities. You know, even when the people of Israel, they couldn't get into the promised land and they had to wait a generation, he still gave them another chance to enter the promised land. God is still going to keep giving you opportunities. But God gave us a word as a church. And it said that Mick talked about it and Andy talked about it. There is a miracle that you want to get to. There is a place of miracles and awesomeness and healing and husbands and all of the things that you've been promised for and you are waiting for. And that is there. And that they're at the other side of a river and they're a miracle away. And I feel like God is saying this morning, I don't want you have to be like the Israelites and have to wait a generation to be given an opportunity to cross this river again. I am the train. I am the God of miracles. I am the gift giver. I look at those things and go, sure, let's do it. But this is it. This is the moment. This is the God bursting the door open. He's been nagging you for a while. This is it. Are you getting up or are you missing the train? I said to God that I couldn't say that. that's a little bit too, if I'm honest, bold. Because what I feel like God is saying is, if you're going to get up, this is going to be amazing. Those miracles that we all talk about, and I said to God, do you know what? Do you know how many meetings I've had where God's miracles and breakthrough is just around the corner? Isn't this an exciting time? It's just about to start. I've had enough of that. I'm bored of being at the comma. God's saying, I'm ready for the next word. I'm ready to move on. Stop stuttering, get up, get on the train. God loves you and he wants you to see his beautiful glory. And I've talked far too long, I'm so sorry. God loves you. He wants you to get on the train. Yes, he will keep giving you opportunities. But if you want to get that miracle, whatever your miracle is, then you need to get up and get it now. I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a God of miracles, that you are a God of promises. I thank you that you love us and you love me and you are amazing. And Lord, I pray as we enter a new year that you open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see you, actually really, really see you. Lord, I pray that as we worship, that it won't just be singing. As we go home, it won't just be living, but it'll be truly seeing you and your glory shining through. That we'll let there be less of us and more of you. And Lord, I pray that as you be glorified and you give us your joy and your strength, that we will see those miracles and those breakthroughs. Lord, we don't want to focus on those things, though we know that they come when we have you. I pray, Lord, that we will find our focus on you, that we will get up and catch that train so that we can be with you. Lord, I pray that this will be taken in the right way, that our hearts will not just dismiss it like we have every other one of the nagging sermons and words that you've given us, but this will actually make an impact. Lord, I pray that you will help me to get up and catch the train. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Ruth, for